It rolls off the lips pretty easily, saying happy holidays to people. And there are some other things we tend to say to each other, like, are you ready for Christmas? That one might indicate the sense of responsibility and even pressure people feel to be active and happy through December, and it's not always easy. Our first guest has some ideas about making holiday and really all experiences at least a little bit better. His degrees are in both psychology and marketing. Troy Campbell is an assistant professor of marketing at the University of Oregon Lundquist College of Business, and he's here with this month's installment of Curious, Research Meets Radio. Hi, Troy.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. So I'm always curious when I see degrees of marketing and psychology together. Is marketing really applied psychology?
Yeah. So marketing is a huge field. What I do is a subfield of marketing called consumer behavior and a little bit of strategic communication. So what I study more or less is sort of based upon a philosophy. And my philosophy, the thing that I believe, the thing that motivates me every day, is that everything can be awesome. And not that everything is awesome, but that everything can be awesome. If that you understand sort of these eternal forces about who people are and how they understand themselves and other people, you can make great things. And it's a very fun place to be in. I was a Disney Imagineer for a while, and Disney really understands these forces of awesome. They understand that they can make a good theme park if they understand physics, but they can make a great theme park if they understand individually how people's emotions work, socially how they're going to interact with each other in the park, and from a design perspective, how we can use stories that operate on people. And on the other side of things, I work in sort of communications. And the people who are best in communications are some of these modern social movements who understand that if you understand morality, you can have a logically sound social movement. But if you understand sort of some of these forces of awesome and individually what people's prejudices are, socially, how crowds can lead us to great things or terrible things, and from a design perspective, how you can have the right amount of information in a message that really can make people process, then you can make things great. I get up every single day and I work on sort of how to make things awesome, and it fills me with a lot of joy.
When you talk about movements like that, though, it sounds like there's a line to be found between simply getting people out the door and to do something together and to make them feel really good about getting out the door and doing things together.
Yeah, and I think that line is actually a lot grayer than we think it is. Is that often what motivates people, and one of the sad but true things you have to understand is that most people are often doing things that make them feel good about themselves and their community. And sort of one of the things that social movements have really understood is sort of how to make being socially active enjoyable, and not sort of this sort of sadness that comes with it. And even if you think of some of the sort of social movements in modern times that sort of have this element of dread to it, they're actually sort of thrilling and enjoyable in a certain way in which they organize the protests and organize the activity on social media, or give people the opportunity to have this hashtag that allows for these constrained creative experiences and stuff. And so they're really understanding that to get people to be good, we have to understand that we need to motivate people. And people are motivated when they feel autonomy and that they get to enjoy the quest towards the better.
Give us an example of a social movement like you're talking about here.
So I think that Black Lives Matter is a very effective social movement, that there are certain elements of it because it's such a large movement and it's such a divisive issue sometimes, that there are certain things that anyone can make better. But if you just think of the hashtag Black Lives Matter, it's a perfect example of something that really works with the forces of awesome. It's and the forces of awesome, just to pause, are the individual. So this is understanding people's identities and irrationalities. In business, we'd say who's coming in the door. The other thing is the social, which is understanding that pretty much we do everything with other people. And the last force is the design force, so what we can do, things about communications and story and design. So the individual, the social, and the design force. And if we think about Black Lives Matter, you have a very well-designed force. You have Black Lives Matter. It's easy to remember. It's catchy. It's social. It gets people to be involved with each other, and social leads to momentum and sustains momentum. And there's a lot of individuality in that. So the idea of the hashtag Black Lives Matter really allows people to express themselves in tweets and different ways, and has made sort of a creative experience with that movement. So if you're on any Facebook feed or anything like that, you see a lot of Black Lives Matter stuff, but it's all through the sort of individual lens of people that has, and that is such a easier way to approach and a much more sort of enjoyable and to some degree comforting way that you can approach through your own voice, and that you're allowed to be creative within this larger movement.
Troy Campbell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. This is our monthly Curious segment, Research Meets Radio, with people doing research at the University of Oregon. He's in the Lundquist College of Business at the University of Oregon as Assistant Professor of Marketing. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So are you saying then that some sorts of knowledge of marketing principles was used in the formation of Black Lives Matter, or that they're being used anyway now?
Yeah. So I don't, to some degree, almost like the idea of there being sort of marketing principles. I teach a class on consumer behavior within the marketing school, and I call the class Everything Can Be Awesome, because I sort of talk about how the idea that all the principles that we think about with marketing, understanding your audience, making people feel welcome, giving people room to be creative, those aren't things that are important to marketing. Those are things that are important to everything, from parenting to designing a theme park.
All right, so I want to make it clear then, you're talking about not everything can be awesome in terms of a consumer experience, but everything can be awesome in life, period.
Period. And so if marketing is just applied psychology, which there are other elements of it not that use sort of statistical models and stuff that aren't perfectly could be categorized in as applied psychology. But marketing is just one of the many, many spaces that's drawing from the well of knowledge we have about humans and how they are. And teachers, business leaders, social movements, community organizers, they're all successful when they use these different principles.
So let's come around then to the holiday season. Mm-hmm. I mean, because for some people, I mean, it's expected to be awesome, I guess, but
yeah.
But for some people, it just simply isn't. What do you suppose some of the major problems are there?
Yeah, so I think that the holidays are a massive experience, and sort of trying to explain why they are the way they are is putting a far too big of a lens on something, and I would be a horrible scientist if I did that. And other scientists would, though. So I think it's better to specifically sort of say sort of what are some of the issues that are going on in these certain situations, and what can you do about that? So getting micro on some of the issues that you're dealing with. And so one of the issues that we're always dealing with is, what am I going to give people over the holidays? So one of the treacherous parts of the holidays, what gift am I going to give my significant other, my child, my friend? And so what I sort of teach people to do about this is just to consider those forces of awesome again. So the individual, the social, and the design force. So if you're giving a gift to someone, think about the individual force. What do people all want? What people all want is to feel, to some degree, good about themselves. So a gift that in itself is a compliment can be an amazing gift. I'm getting you this gift because you're so beautiful, you'll look good in it. I'm getting you this gift of paintbrushes because I love your art. I'm getting you this gift of this toolbox because I appreciated the thing you made for the family. And these things that can activate that force. Another thing to do in getting a gift is to think about the social force. And so we're always interacting with other people. And if you're going to get people some clothing, you can get somebody something that people look nice in, or you can get somebody a conversation piece. So buying a T-shirt that's in a brighter color or has an interesting design that people note will have people comment on that later as you're wearing it. And that will continually make that gift better afterwards. And so if you think about it, if you break down the holiday into these little things and say, here's the specific issue, and then you sort of understand who are the people I'm interacting with, how can I make those interactions better, and what opportunities do I have, I think you can make things a lot more awesome.
So break it down into smaller parts, I think, is what I hear you saying. So rather than think of like, oh, my God, the holidays, think about, well, how am I going to deal with this dinner? How am I going to deal with these gifts? When am I going to do my shopping? Those sorts of things.
Yeah. And I think to some degree we all can, it sounds a little unsavory, but we can all approach our lives a little bit better like businesses do. Businesses have large plans, but they're always interested in specific product launches. And they focus all their a lot of their energy on something specific, and they break down things into small parts, and they make those small parts better, and those small parts add up into something great, whether that's the profitability of a business or the enjoyment of your holiday.
All right, so can you extend this? I mean, I guess since we're still talking in the general realm of marketing, but with a lot of psychology here as well, I mean, can you get to a place where you're not so much dealing with some of the things that are expected of you during holidays, but getting to figure out a level of personal equilibrium while the holidays seem to be coming around you like a fast-flowing stream.
Yeah. So how do you balance your life during the holidays?
Exactly.
Is the idea. So how do you balance your life during the holidays? So everybody's going to be different. Some people can balance their life very easy. So if you're me and you're an extrovert, one of the easiest things that I do is I have a large party at my house earlier in the holiday season, and that allows me to touch base with every single individual that I feel sort of a responsibility to touch base with. And so that can be an effective strategy. Another thing to do about the holiday experience is thinking, one of the things what you want to do is you want to get yourself in the holiday experience, but you don't want to spend so much time doing this effort, right? And so what you want to do are do things that have lasting value. So imagine you have the opportunity to do one of two things on the day after Thanksgiving. One thing is to make holiday cookies. And one thing is to decorate your house. Now, if you're my family, you will make holiday cookies, and even though you've ate a lot of food the day before, within 25 minutes, those holiday cookies will be gone. Right?
Right.
But if you decorate the house, now all of a sudden you have something that has lasting joy to you for the next 20 or so days. And so putting your effort into things that have a repeat or lasting value is one of the most easiest ways to not only make yourself happy, but also to divide up your effort into a way that's more manageable. And this can also be the way lots of families have these traditions where they'll make ornaments or they'll make Christmas decorations, and those things will last not only that season, but they'll come back around and they'll be able to hang up this one ornament that will provide them so much joy as it's been involved in rituals and traditions across time.
So you're creating pleasure not just from the experience now, but also from the ability to come back and revisit it in future years and create a tradition with it.
Absolutely. So design force of awesome, make things that have repeated enjoyment. Another important thing that you can think about from those specific things is how can you, what we talk about in sort of this research in my classes, how can you activate as many types of awesome at the same time as you can? So one of the things that's really cool with Christmas is that there's a lot of creation. So people are making things, whether they're decorating their house, that's a form of making, or they're making cookies or Christmas decorations. The more things that you can do that you're making, as long as you are making it well, can provide an amazing amount of enjoyment. The term in consumer behavior is called the IKEA effect, like the store. And the idea is if you make something like an IKEA product, which you have to assemble, you will enjoy it more than if you bought it pre-assembled. Now, it only works as long as you can actually get that IKEA dresser up. but with the holidays, finding the opportunities where you can make things can be an incredible way to have a lot of joy that can activate so many different forms of awesome. And in my family, what we also do is we activate sort of this idea of identity through creation, and the idea of social roles through creation. So not only are we all creating things together, but everybody's leading the thing they're good at. So my brother's very good at baking, and so he leads the baking. My mother is very good at cooking. She leads the cooking. My dad is very good at doing social activities. He designs a new social activity for the family every year, and I'm really good at technology. So I do something where I lead us decorating. And so we're all creating together, but we're also getting these moments to shine. And so there's just so many different awesome forces that are going on at the same time and can lead to joy. And also, we are dividing up the labor, so we are spending less time stressing out about the holiday.
So good things to keep in mind here, then. The three things that go into any experience, the way you put it, is identity, social group, and design.
Yeah, I would say it's not just identity, it's the individual. It's everything about the individual. So I've been talking a lot about the identity, but it's also thinking about things like how individuals have emotions and irrationalities and other things like that.
All right, a lot to take in here, and we hope we get a chance to visit with you again someday, because there are lots of other areas of psychology you're interested in that we haven't had a chance to talk about today. Troy Campbell is an assistant professor of marketing at the University of Oregon Lundquist College of Business. He's been our guest for this month's edition of Curious Research Meets Radio. Troy, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.